From the book of the prophet Jeremiah, God says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Three questions this morning. Three questions for me, three questions for you. Question number one, what does it mean when we baptize someone, whether child or teenager or adult? What does it mean when we go to that font, we all turn around? What does it mean when we say in the words of the baptismal covenant that we vow, that we promise before Almighty God and the powers of this world? What does it mean when we say that we will respect the dignity of every human being? Let those words bounce around in your mind. The dignity of every human being. Question number two. What does it mean when we read in the creation story? I mean, if that baptismal covenant is a constitutive document, a constitutional document, the creation story is even more so. What does it mean when we read in the creation story that God made humanity, that God has made you and me in His own image and likeness? What does it mean to say that men and women are made in the image and likeness of God? Question number three. What does it mean when we read in this stirring passage from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, what does it mean for God to say, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you"? Before our parents knew us, however many years ago that was, God knew us. Before we knew ourselves, before we were conscious of ourselves, God knew us. What does it mean then to say that God knows us even in the womb? So there are three questions for you and three questions for me this morning. That God knows us even before we were born. That God formed us in His own image. And that we will respect the dignity of every human being. Now, those are three questions, and now I wish to tell you two troubling stories. These are not stories for the faint of heart. The first story comes to us from July 26th of this past summer. In Tokyo, Japan, a man broke into a home for the disabled, and he successfully murdered 19 disabled people. 19 handicapped people. Now, before he did this, he wrote a letter to the Japanese government outlining how this was the right thing to do. Now, it's easy for us to dismiss this man as a maniac, but his logic actually was fairly consistent. Hear what he had to say. His argument is that the disabled cannot contribute. They effectively consume without producing to the greater good. They are a drain on society. Their lives are not as worthy of our support as the lives of others who can produce. Again, it's easy to dismiss this man as a maniac, but hear that logic. His argument is that the human person is only worth, her only worth, is defined by what he or she can do or cannot do. In other words, this man had adopted a rather nihilistic approach to human life based on utility. How useful are you? What, my brothers and sisters, do we say in the baptismal covenant? We say instead that human beings have an inherent worth, full stop, period. That our worth is based not on what we can achieve or what we are not able to achieve. We say that the human person is of immeasurable value. We cannot measure the human person's value. No matter how severely handicapped, a human being is of no less value. And we affirm that loudly in the baptismal covenant. A second troubling story. Just this week, the leaders of ISIS have instituted a new policy. Their new policy, and this is not just rumor or hearsay, it's been confirmed by several sources. The new policy is to murder newborns with Down syndrome, with congenital deformities, with disabilities. It's not easy for me to say things like this from a pulpit, but I tell you, woe betide me if I am silent. Woe betide us if we are silent. As Christians, we believe that the human person is of immeasurable worth and inherent dignity, no matter how poor, no matter how vulnerable, no matter how disabled, no matter how deformed. Every human life is precious in the eyes of God, and therefore precious in our eyes also. Tragically, we could share stories like these all day long. We could go on and on and on and on. We just rested with two this morning. All of these stories, they come back again and again to this central concept that the human person is made in God's own image, that the human person is of inherent worth, not based on what they can or can't do. And tragically, the world wants us to deny that. I think that it's very easy for us to say, these are stories from far away. These are stories from the other side of the world, stories from a maniac, stories from a radical group in the Middle East. But I think there are more pointed questions that we can raise for ourselves. How far, my brothers and sisters, are we complicit in this same utilitarian, nihilistic logic about the worth of human beings? How often do we weigh out someone's worth? How often in our minds do we do that calculus based on race, based on how they live, based on where they're from, based on their accents? The real tragedy is that we measure out the worth of a person on something far more prosaic than religious ideology. No, we weigh out human life in cost and convenience. The vulnerable will cost us something. The vulnerable will cost us our time, our energy, our love. Those who can't feed themselves will cost us something. Those who can't care for themselves will cost us something. The elderly woman with dementia sitting in her nursing home, is she really worth my time to go visit? I'm going to apologize to you on behalf of all the clergy that have actually thought that for a moment. What can she really contribute? Here at St. George's, by the way, I quickly add, we have a whole team of people who do visitations, not just Ben and myself. Unfortunately, there are clergy sometimes who think, I don't know that this woman is really worth my time. The unborn child in the womb of a teenage mother, oh boy, she's going to cost the taxpayers, isn't she? You've heard the screeds about welfare, I'm sure. And boy, we don't want to spend the effort of talking with our enemies, do we? That would cost us too much. It would put us at too much of a risk to know the other, those who are not like us. I'd like for us to go a little deeper here, because underneath this logic is actually an even deeper premise. This line of logic is actually based on a lie. And that lie is that our time, our money, our energy, our resources, are all ours. The lie continues that you earned your money. It's yours. You did it by the sweat of your brow. You earned that money. It's yours. And your time, you've earned that. I've earned that. And it's up to us to decide what we're going to do with our resources. Certainly, it's not a gift from God. Certainly, our time, our money, our resources aren't gifts from Almighty God. You hear people actually make lip service to God, but if you dig down, they think God's a fairy tale. And what do we do with this line of logic? We say that we have to hoard our resources. We hoard our time. We hoard our energy. We hoard our money. We even hoard our love. We can easily wind up saying, I can't waste it on the poor. I can't waste it on the vulnerable. I can't waste it on people who don't look like me, people who don't live like me. I have to make calculated decisions about who is really worth my resources. I really think this is why people love these zombie shows these days. I mean, like, it's like a new one comes out every week, right? It's not just Walking Dead. There's more and more and more of them. Because these shows, they always come back to the same calculus. They come back to the same exercise of who is worth that last bit of water, who is worth that last bit of food. This person's strong, they might make it, but this person's weak, cut loose. In fact, we even drum up sort of ridiculous ideas like, it's more humane to do that. This person's weak, we cut them loose. They aren't worth the resources. They're a drain. The message, though, of Scripture is this. There is a God. And He is sovereign. He knew you personally in your mother's womb. And He loved you even then. This God has given you everything you have and everything you ever will have. From that first breath you took to the last breath you will take, and every single breath in between. Every penny you have, the roof over my head, the food that I feed my children. The truth of Scripture is that this God has provided all of it. This same God who knew you and knew me in our mother's womb, as we hear in Jeremiah. This same God who formed you and formed me in His own image, as we read in Genesis. This same God judges you to be precious and of immeasurable worth. And now, this same God who has given you so much, this same God who has formed you in His own image, this God now calls you to love every other human being. Not those simply who look like us, who are strong enough, who can make it through the zombie apocalypse. But every human being. For they are also made in His image. And they also are precious. Not because of their strength or their weakness. Not because of their intellect or lack thereof. So, dear people of St. George's Church, three questions for you this week. Three questions for me. What does it mean when we vow that we will respect the dignity of every human being? What does that mean in your life and in my life? What does it mean to say that every human being is created in the image and likeness of God? And what does it mean to say that God knew us even in the womb? Those are questions that I bid you to ponder this week. Not just about some maniac in Tokyo, but in your life tomorrow, and on Tuesday and Wednesday, all through this week. I speak to you this morning in the name of the living God who has made us in His own image. Amen.